This is RSBNB Update, episode 184, Uncorked version 2.0. The views expressed in this episode of RSBNB Update are those of the hosts and do not represent those of RSBNB as a whole. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Christmas special edition of RSBNB Update. This is another edition of Uncorked, and I will be handing over the reins to Brad right now.
Hello, everybody. To those of you who didn't listen last year to this, this show is basically myself, Shane, and Jeff discussing topics of relevance in the real world, not online, topics that most likely, you know, you'd expect to have some sort of, you know, president-elect their stances on things like some of the topics we've got for discussion this evening: stem cell research, the Wall Street bailout, other general recession topics like that, interventionist economic policies, the Obama administration, which, you know, we'll be seeing its first year, beginning of its first year in January, the debate on the ethics of assisted suicide, animal testing. Basically, it's just a discussion about politics and issues like that. Without further ado, I think we should jump right into the main topic, stem cell research. Anybody want to open on that?
Why don't you?
What, with my views?
Yeah.
I think my views on the ethics of stem cell, I don't see how it's unethical. I mean, I know you're creating human embryos, you know, human fetuses and getting cells from that, but you know, this goes back to my same views on the abortion thing. It's a human fetus. It's not a human baby. If we were sort of getting babies out of the womb to experiment on, that would be slightly different. But as long as it stays at a fetal stage, and as long as this research could potentially help, you know, suffering people and help us cure diseases and increase our knowledge of the human body and what makes it tick, then I really don't see what the problem is.
I have to tend to agree there, because if you think about it, there are groups out there who would suggest that doing this sort of thing is wrong, and they would rather suffer and die from some disease in regards to that. But the question is, why would they do that, you know? Like, wouldn't they, like, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that they already take for granted that they have used in the past that would have had some sort of research that would violate one of their beliefs, you know? You know what I mean?
I think if you have too many beliefs, in the end, you end up striking yourself down. I mean, I think if you look at stem cell research at face value, I don't see how you can call it unethical. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of the people who object to sort of, you know, stem cell research, same people who object to abortion, which mostly comes from religious beliefs, doesn't it? I mean, I don't want to take a big shit on religion here, but if it can help you if it can help us further ourselves and better ourselves and better our understanding, then why is it a bad thing? It's not like I said before. It's not like we're actually sort of experimenting on babies, is it?
Yeah. So, what is the general stance of the Canadian government or the UK government on this thing? Because I know, like, for example, the Bush government is opposed to this.
That's a good question, Jeff. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that the Canadian government would most likely end up opposing it in the end under the Conservative government, but I'm really not too sure, because they've taken the stance with abortion that abortion shouldn't be something the government deals with, you know. So,
who did the Canadian government say it deals with abortion then?
Well, that's Stephen Harper's stance, is that the government shouldn't have a position on it.
Well, so it should just not be regulated.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in other words, it should be allowed.
Well, yeah, there's like no rules for or against it making it legal or illegal. It's something they don't want to touch right now, I think, because of the current structure of the government and the numbers that they have.
I know the UK government, there was a vote on it not long, a couple of months ago, I think. And it was quite controversial because a lot of the MPs, a fair few MPs, sort of voted against their parties. You know, same everywhere. You know, there's usually a party vote, and parties try and make all their members vote the way they want them to. A lot of members refused to toe the party line because of religious beliefs. A lot of them refused to vote for. But I think in the end it passed, and I know the UK government did approve pumping a lot of money into stem cell research, which is, of course, a good thing. So I think the UK is slowly moving forward with it, but of course there's resistance from the religious quarters.
I think it has to be moved forward with, because you're not going to... It's the 21st century, and you're not going to make progress by obscuring science.
No.
So,
especially not with draconian belief systems.
Yeah. Like, you and I were talking about this before the show, and it's not related to the current topic, but we'll touch on it later, probably.
Yes, so I think we are all pretty much pro stem cell research.
Yeah, I mean, if I was dying and I needed that, it wouldn't.
Do you think we should briefly explain what it is in case a few people don't understand?
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So I'm sure one of you two could do it better than I could.
Well, I'm really not that. That
you're really not that sure what it is, but you have a position.
Well, no, I have a general idea, but you know,
Jeff, do you want to do it? You've not done much.
Yeah, I same with Shane. I have a general idea, but not really specific, because I don't like biology in general.
Yeah, me too. So Brad, that means it's you.
The resident biologist, Brad.
Resident biologist. I used to like biology, then I realized I was no good at science. Basically, because I only really understand it basically as well, it's basically human fetuses are sort of grown but stopped at well beyond a certain stage of development, and cells are taken from those fetuses that are called they are called stem cells. The only basic characteristic a stem cell has over a normal cell is that it's able to renew itself through cell division. And this makes it basically very good for sort of testing on, of course. And basically, these cells are very useful to scientists in testing regarding diseases. And you know, they can tell scientists a lot about diseases. But basically, a lot of people oppose the research because obviously they think, well, if you're getting it from a fetus, you know, it's just basically the abortion crowd. You know, the whole fetus brigade. Getting it from a fetus, that's a no-no. So that's what it is, basically.
We could link to the Wikipedia page.
You wouldn't get much sense from that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it looks fairly scientific. But...
For the most part, that's what it is. It's basically getting cells from fetuses and doing research on them that potentially
Help the
greater good of human beings. But, you know, some
just
people
like
always
space
want to stand...
travel
in,
will do that one
some
day.
People always want to stand in the square of progress, don't they?
Like space travel. But that's a topic for another show.
Uh-huh.
That's stem cell research covered. The next topic, I think we probably all have a lot more to say, because this is something that's... Wall Street bailout, the car makers bailout, and the general... A lot of things linked to the recession. I mean, first off, we should make our point on this clear. Were you two for or against the Wall Street bailout?
Jeff first.
In fact, you know, the government only bailed out one of the companies, and the rest they worked out a deal for other companies to basically purchase in. So, I mean, in general, I don't think that the government should be, you know, paying for the failures of other companies, but. I mean, to some extent, it is necessary, and it all depends on which case. For example, I think in the case of the big three, I think they should be allowed to fail because, you know, in the past they already have been bailed out. For example, Chrysler before, and they shouldn't have a second chance.
I'd agree with that. So, Shane.
Okay, absolutely not. It shouldn't have happened because it's taxpayers' money going towards some sort of big company in that respect. But then the question has to be asked, what happens towards, say, somebody who has a company with, oh, I don't know, 50 chains nationwide? Should they be waiting for a government handout? No, obviously not, and they wouldn't get one. Same thing goes with the automakers. Maybe they're doing this to themselves, because it's, you got to think about this, that we're in 2009, 2008, and people are wanting to spend less on cars, and also cars that do not emit as much emissions, you know?
And so especially maybe, in this economic climate, you know, buying a new car is not going to be the top of the average person's list.
So in other words, I think that the big three should just be left to die out, and then work with whoever's left after, and then give the aid money to companies who are focusing on development of electric cars and alternative energy sources for their cars, like the Tesla company, I think. I'm not sure of any other ones. I just know that one. I know Jeff and I have talked about that before, so.
Well, yeah, I agree with you both that the bailouts weren't a good idea. I think in the case of the banks and the case of the automakers, both should have been forced into the consequences of what the situation gave, which is probably a lot of companies going bust and a lot of jobs being lost. I think the only positive argument I've seen for the cash injections in both of those cases was saving jobs. But I think for the most part, when you know, the times get tough, especially with the banks, because let's face it, it was the banks that got us into this mess in the first place. Their dodgy dealings and subprime lending is what caused all this. So we certainly shouldn't be running to help them. They should have been forced to take the consequences of their actions, which was inevitable bankruptcy. And so the whole system could rebuild itself from the ground up. I think, you know, as long as you're injecting cash into big business, especially in a free market, you're never really going to see any sort of system of change, because every time something goes wrong, they go running to the government for a handout. So these companies should have been forced into the harsh realities of the situation, and then everybody should have built itself up together, and the government should have focused on supporting those who were made jobless by the bankruptcies rather than bailing out the companies themselves.
Yeah, exactly. A really good argument against the bailout is actually, instead of the government spending a lot of money saving those companies, they should actually spend that money on creating jobs in the green industry, for example, like Shane said, the electric car industry or whatever, that actually has potential in the future.
Rather than seeing this as a situation for the government to sort of just about keep the wagon rolling, they should have seen this as a situation to, you know, clean the trash out and start afresh on better new businesses with
clean
workers
house
to go into, money to invest, rather than just about keeping the wheels on the wagon of, you know, the failing banking system and the auto system. But and I also remember reading a figure the other day, $1.6 billion of the bailout, which doesn't seem that much considering it was a $700 billion bailout. $1.6 billion of the bailout has gone to the CEOs, hasn't it?
Yeah, we all saw that on Dig.
Yes, probably. That's probably where I saw it. I can't remember where I saw it. And I think that's the most disgusting part, because there was, of course, the thing with the House of Representatives, wasn't there, when the big three went to ask for money, and Brad Sherman said to them, how many of you flew here on a private jet? How many of you are willing to sell your private jets? That's it all. That's them all over. You know, it's much less about, of course, it's about keeping the company going, but it's about keeping the company going so the company can support their lifestyle.
Exactly.
But now go ahead.
Another thing with this that people need to realize, that in order to stop the countrywide recession, throwing money at it is not going to fix the problem.
Not in the long term. It's a short-term solution.
Yeah, very short. Like a day or so. Like, you saw the stocks go up, they went back down. The thing people don't realize is that when you throw money at an economy, it's not a quick fix. Any money you inject takes between 12 and 18 months to manifest itself. And by the time this money injected starts to manifest itself, we're going to be out of this situation. So,
are you sure about that?
I think I'm pretty sure that that's the way it works. 12 to 18 months, like.
But by the time will we still be in this trouble? That's a question.
Well, I've heard that 2009 will be the bad year, and the first half of 2010 will be bad, but second half of 2010 will be the recovery. So 18 uh-huh. months. So.
Yeah, all the news channels here are saying 2009 will be a grim year.
So yeah. that's basically what my thoughts are as to why it's panic. It's panic. That's
so you guys
is,
don't
really.
Think it's like the second Great Depression?
No.
I think some of the numbers are sort of almost there, but I've not seen I don't think history will remember it as badly as the Great Depression.
What needs to be done is needs to be converted into, you can't compare the different dollars. You got to, like, the dollars lost, you got to compare.
Well, sterling is just plunging against everything right now.
You got to compare 2008 to 1929.
Mm.
So, that's
but
sort
I,
of...
The only possible positive we can get out of this is that, you know, the years following a recession are always the strongest an economy ever has. So we will have pretty damn good years in late 2010 and 2011.
You know, I'm just worried about oil prices, actually.
Yeah, because Alberta has lots of stocks of oil.
Yeah, so...
Is it like $47 a barrel now?
I heard
it's really it cheap now.
$40 last I saw, so...
You wouldn't want to invest in oil, would you?
Yeah, so, like, all the little
projects
are being
slowed down. You wouldn't really
want to
invest in anything now.
So. Yeah, it's best to just sit back and let it ride it out. But the thing is, people our age really have nothing to worry about, because by the time we actually get out there and start saving, it's going to be better. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Any final comments on this?
Well, back to the question about the big three. Well, now that the bailout plan has actually passed, so what do you think? And Obama actually supported the bailout plan, so what do you guys think will happen? Or is it going to be the same old
well,
thing?
With the Obama as president?
Jeff?
Wait, what?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh. Where did I stop? I
said something about, do you think it's going to be this sort of...
The same old... Like, what's
What, do you know, is he going to be the same as Bush or whatever?
Well, I mean, like, is it still going to be the... In terms of the companies, like, are they still going to continue their, you know, their outdated practices? Are they not going to innovate? Or is it, will this money actually help them?
Well...
I don't know. I think in the short term it's kept jobs, which, like I said, I think is the only plus of any sort of cash injection. I think it just... I mean, I remember seeing on The Daily Show a couple of months ago now, just after the bailout had passed, well, no, about a month after the bailout had passed, where they said some of the money had been moved, had been handed out so fast the Treasury couldn't track it. The Treasury hadn't tracked, like, $200 billion. So it really could be anywhere. So... I think in the case of the banks, no, because the banks were given such a hefty amount. And, you can never trust bankers
but you
with
gotta,
money.
You got to question the banking system in general in the U.S.
And the government is at fault with this, so...
Yeah, it's...
I guess they're trying to cover up.
Yeah, like... You know how the banking system works. Basically, anybody can open up a bank in the U.S., right? And then, as a result, they give out those, and then they're, like, aren't they, like, children of the bigger banks, or what?
Well, they get loans from the bigger
and
banks,
then,
basically.
And then if they get all those, but you guys, does the central bank have, like, strict regulating powers on the banks that are,
so,
like your local
it's basically
banks?
The Federal Reserve that is in charge, right? But as far as I know, The subprime mortgage thing actually started with Clinton back in when he was like I think every American should be able to own a house. So they actually really let loose on the regulations there. So the government is definitely at fault. I mean, yeah, they do have the ability to enforce stricter regulation,
which is what it needs. Like, if you look at the Canadian banking system, that's how it works. So, I don't know. That's my thoughts on that. Brad?
I have no other remarks.
Okay, so we should move on then.
Next, third talking point, the Obama administration.
That sort of follows nicely.
This sort of, basically, just to preface this, this will basically be our thoughts on how the first is going to go for him. Some staff appointments we've seen already. Anything related to that? Anybody want to go?
I'll go. I think that he's taking definitely a different, unconventional approach as you would compare it to past presidents, especially Mr. George Bush. If, you know, like, we've seen him taking sides, we've seen him taking his friends in, his rivals in, even people from the other party, key example being Defense Secretary
Robert Gates.
Yep. And then giving Hillary Clinton the Secretary of State job, being his second, his main rival in the Democratic leadership race. So, I don't know. I think he's heading towards something that is going to be welcomed by a lot of the younger generation, if you know what I mean, because they were the ones who, like, we all know how they what's the word I'm looking at? Come on, help me. Help me.
If you're looking at it, read it.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think of it. It's like they got overjoyed about his run for office. I don't know how to describe that, what word that would be.
Fanboys.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Obama
fanboys.
I think
the sort of people you're talking about, I think they're very fickle, because, you know, there was a lot of people behind Obama when he was elected, and then I remember when sort of he appointed Hillary Clinton, a lot of people on the comments in the Dig story were like, oh, this was supposed to be changed, blah, blah, blah. And I think that shows a lot of people have unrealistic expectations of Obama, and I think that's the number one thing that's going to shoot him down,
yeah,
is that all these people are expecting something so amazing, something so different, when, you know, you need the same, you need some sort of the same old faces to a degree.
You can't change politics overnight.
No, you can't.
But
I think the one thing that will shoot him down, if anything, will be that people will expect too much.
Yes, that's right. But I give him credit for using the for his YouTube addresses and those sort of things, putting those online compared to just having a radio address, you know. So,
the definitely interesting thing is how, like, the next 4 years, how he's gonna utilize the internet to promote his own cause. And I mean, he's like, people call him the first internet president, and now he's actually already, you know, how he's doing his a lot of stuff with his website, change.gov. It'll be interesting to see how... I think it'll be interesting to see how he's going to utilize the internet.
And then you also have to wonder how this is going to set the bar for future elections in the U.S. and around the world, you know? So, whether or not others will take on to this, or... Because I think that if the political parties in the U.S. do not do this when he runs for his second term, We'll see the same sort of landslide we saw this first time. So,
yeah, there's no question that they're going to change.
You think they will or they won't?
I think the GOP will, the next GOP presidential candidate will be very young, probably. It certainly won't be Palin. I think it was somebody... It'll be somebody who's young for, you know, politics, from maybe like early 40s, probably slightly younger than Obama is now. I think they will certainly want to try to get the young voter, because the young voters worked so well for Obama this time.
I just can't see Sarah Palin doing this, all that internet stuff, you know?
You know she's going to run, so...
There was the thing, though, wasn't it? Now there's...
Yeah.
People think there's some sort of rift between McCain and Palin, because Palin sort of McCain refused to say in an interview that he, you know, outright supported Palin for 2012 or something like that. If I was McCain, I'd be pretty pissed as well, because I think Palin lost him that election.
She did.
But, yeah, I think... Yeah, sorry. I have nothing to say.
Why is Shane laughing?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm on my favorite site.
Palin is president.
I don't know. I just really can't picture her being president and doing the internet thing, you know?
No, I think...
I can't picture any of the people who ran in this 2008 Republican race doing that internet thing.
No, all their candidates, the people like Huckabee, Gravel, Mitt Romney, they all seem fairly sort of like old school GOP type people.
Yes, so that's why I can't see that, you know? So, I don't know. I think they need to, like, as I'm sure they said, needs to change, you know? Like, they can't survive in that, but... Oh, well, we're off from the Obama administration. Brad, what do you think about the appointments? When you never said about what you thought of them.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton was a good appointment, because, like I've said previously, I sort of liked her for the Democratic nomination early in the race. I think, you know, she's got experience. Interesting to see how much... Well, obviously, Bill can't really get involved, but you know, he'll probably be, you know, offering her a helping hand behind the scenes. Not like that, though.
What do you mean?
I think it's a good appointment. I also like Rahm Emanuel, Chief of Staff. He seems like a good, solid guy. And reading on Dig, yeah, the other day about his, you know, his science team, which was, people say, you know, like a fundamental breakaway from Bush's policy. I think, you know, it's good as well that for the first time in ever, really, that an American president is furthering the cause of science, as we were talking about earlier.
Which is great. So that's good. So,
anyone else have anything to say on that?
Has anybody heard anything about his technology guy that he was supposedly going to have or something? Or?
Has he unveiled that yet?
I don't know.
Well, like, he went to, a year ago, he went to the Google campus and he announced that he's going to appoint sort of like a CTO guy to his cabinet, or he's going to create one. And so people are really expecting that, but he hasn't done anything thus far.
When are cabinet positions due? When's the deadline?
Well, they have to be due before he inaugurates, but right now all of them are done, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, he's filled all of them. Just yesterday, I think, or yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless Brad.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Next topic.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Skipping a few. This one should be another assisted suicide.
This is an interesting one.
This is for anybody, again, not so black and white. People with, this is not just anybody who feels like killing themselves. This is people with terminal and potentially debilitating illnesses.
Okay. You want to open up on it?
Okay, I'll open on this. My basic belief on this is if somebody is in a position where their quality of life is being severely reduced by their illness, you know, unable to walk, you know, paralysis, severe pain, discomfort, anything like that, then I believe as long as they are in a sound state of mind, which is probably a very contested phrase if it was ever made legal, that they have the right to end their lives or to request that their lives be ended.
I agree.
I agree too.
I don't see, you know, how, like, it's the same sort of, some people, I don't see why if somebody wants to die they should be not allowed to be euthanized.
Yeah.
As long as they give their clear consent.
I forget which state it was in the election that had a ballot measure on that. Does anybody know offhand?
I remember seeing it as well. Seattle. I think it was Seattle. Not Seattle, Washington State.
Washington.
But I think there's no way it would ever become law. Which is a shame.
Yeah, like, it should be allowed. Is it? I don't think it's allowed here. Is it allowed?
In this country, it's sort of hit and miss, because there's lots of stories of sort of spouses taking their terminally ill partners to clinics in Switzerland to be to end their lives, and I don't think any of them have ever been arrested for that, even though they technically could be. But there was a woman who went to the High Court to see if her husband did that for her, would he be arrested? But the High Court refused to give sort of assurance that he wouldn't. But I very much doubt that they would.
See, that's the thing. The court can't rule on that, because then it becomes a matter of common law, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's probably why they didn't.
I think in some cases there have been cases where the husband has euthanized his wife, actually done the killing himself, and they usually get, as long as it's very clear that that was what it was, they usually get very light sentences, like maybe suspended jail sentences.
How would you manage to pull that off easily, you know, and humanely?
Oh, suffocating, you know, drugging, you don't know. I don't know. Yeah. There are ways to do it, but I think it's just all about it's all about whether the person, you know, can give consent is the shady issue.
And where do you draw the line?
Yes, a good point.
Because for all, you know, there's argument, you could argue the person wasn't of sound mind or whatever. It's difficult.
You can argue that whoever knows where isn't of sound mind, so I don't know. Going back to that last thing, Jeff has a link of the completed cabinet as to date, which will go into the notes, so I just thought I would put that there. What else do we have on assisted suicide? Does anybody
That's
know
it.
Anybody who's
assisted suicide? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
No personal experience.
Okay, but have you heard of it?
Yeah. Not a lot.
Oh, okay.
So it was sort of, well, like I said, it was in the news here not so long ago.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting going on seeing how that kind of stuff happens, because really over time that sort of thing is becoming more and more. It's not going to be as taboo as it was before to talk about that kind of thing, you know?
Well, do you think it's going to become more commonplace in the future?
Well, eventually, I think. Like, that's sort of, I think, the way the world is going, that things that weren't common 50 years ago and that shouldn't have been discussed are discussed freely today, you know? So, I just think that's the way it's going.
Hopefully. I think it's one of the things that sort of in the past maybe common sense hasn't prevailed. And that's sort of area,
you can always make
one of the
argument about common sense.
Shall we move on to the final topic?
The final topic?
Yeah, I cut a lot out because it's a lot of crap, and they really had a little discussion with you. Okay, the final topic is... Yeah, they were crap, believe me. the final topic is animal testing, just for the purpose of scientific or cosmetic, I guess we talk about. Anyone want to go on this?
No.
You really?
Yeah,
you
first,
have no...
Maybe. Well, I have an opinion, but I went first last time.
Jeff, what's your thoughts on this?
It's hard to say. I mean, like, I think it's, like, it depends. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, I'm not really against it. But, I mean, if it's really cruel, if it's like, I mean, we're going to kill this pig just for doing it. I mean, obviously not, so.
I think, okay. Brad, do you want to go or should I go?
You can go if you want.
I really don't have a problem with it. I think it's necessary in that respect, because how else are you going to test this? Are you going to test this on people, you know?
They, like, do test it on people after they've got their animal tests.
Well, no, I mean, like, are we talking about, like, would it be right to test like new drugs on people if they didn't work or something?
No, of course it wouldn't. It wouldn't be safe.
Exactly. So my point is that we can do animal testing, because ideally, over time, how long have humans been interacting with animals? I think that over time, the animals should either have adapted to it or sort of like
adapted to animal testing.
Well, no, I mean adapted to human colonization and then testing later on, you know?
Are you actually saying, it's the animals' fault that we test on them?
No, I'm just saying if they didn't want to be tested on, they should have the common sense to vacate, you know?
God, this has actually proved more comical than I thought. I'm of the opinion, you know, obviously we're above animals. That's why we test on them. That's also why we eat them and why we hunt them.
Exactly. You know? That's what I was trying to get across there.
I don't understand people who are pro-animal rights, because if animals were above us, they would have no problem killing us and eating us and testing on us and all this crap. I don't think that's any sort of a justification. I think the advancement of our sort of our technology and our ability to sort of to prevent diseases is the pro reason. Much same reason I support stem cell research. If we can forward ourselves and advance ourselves, then why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want
exactly to? Like I think that should be the sole goal of humanity, is to advance and better yourselves at basically any reasonable cost. Reasonable there.
Yeah, it's reasonable. That's debatable what reasonable is, but yeah, I'd agree. Cosmetics on animals, I'm probably more against cosmetic testing than I am against scientific testing, because I think, you know, if we're testing drugs or medicine, that actually has much more of a tangible real-world use than makeup. But
why does it even need to be tested on animals? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea. Well, just any possible effects on skin, I don't know.
I don't know. Just use the prisoners that are sentenced to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that qualify as cruel and unusual punishment in the States?
Yeah.
Or send them to like a work camp or something to become construction workers or something, you know? Sure.
Yeah. Talk about
makeup
human
on
rights.
And then go build the bridge. Then by the end of the day, monitor your results.
Build a bridge and get over it?
Yeah. And if your testing is fine, you get released.
I think it just all goes back to the thing we said, you know, it's if you want to stand in the way of I've always thought with sort of the people who aren't for animal testing or aren't for stem cell research, if you want to, you know, stand in the way of science, then you shouldn't get the benefits of it.
Exactly.
Oh, look, you've got a nasty aggressive tumor. Well, you don't agree in stem cell research or animal testing, so you wouldn't want to take these pills that would solve it, because that would be unethical to you. So feel free to go and die.
That's the same thing that's gonna happen to you one day when we find some space rock or something that provides benefit for people on Earth.
Right. You aren't changing
seriously.
You are not changing this debate.
I'm not changing it. I just thought that would be a prime time to bring that up because, you know.
Well, do you think we've covered animal testing?
I don't know. Like, what is there to cover on animal testing?
I think we've pretty much gone through all our subjects.
Animal testing, I don't know.
Any closing remarks?
As you said, it all falls into where humans lie. And would animals be merciful to us if we were below them and
reversed? It's survival of the fittest.
And you know that's how it works in the animal world. And if you look at
we are still animals to a degree.
I know there's no being nice, you know, in the animal world.
Well, there is. Nice guys finish last.
Well, no. Does a cat spare a mouse?
No, if it needs to
live.
Exactly.
So.
But there are situations where altruism is preferable, but most of them don't pertain to the food chain. Anyway, that's
all. I don't know. I think we're done for that one.
I think we're done. All in all.
Mike was going to be here, but he said he was sorry that he couldn't come. So with that said, we are going to leave you guys to dine on your Christmas dinner if that is your holiday of choice, because this will be released on Christmas Eve, so you can listen to that before you go stuff your faces and think about the animal testing that happened for, or maybe, I don't know. Just think of our topics for while you're sitting down, and maybe it'd become a good family discussion. I don't know, but... I don't know. With that said, we will see you guys all next week for the Fantabulous Clip Show.
Goodbye. Which we recorded before this. Ooh, spooky. Bye, everyone.